ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಛರಿ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಛರಿ ಜಯ ರಥ ಮಾದವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶಿಶ್ರೀಮಾಧಿ ಸಿವಾಯಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಜಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶಿಶ್ರೀಮಾಧಿ ಸಿವಾಯಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಇಸ್ಕೋಂ ಫೌಂಡರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಗರಂತರಾಶಿಮ ಭಾಗವತಂಕಿ ನಿತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬೋ ದೇವೋತಿಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬೋ ದೇವೋತಿಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬೋ ದೇವೋತಿಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸು ಶಿಶಿ ಗುರು ವಂಶಿ ಗೌರಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಂತೋ 9 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 9 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಡೈನಸ್ಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಅಂಶುಮನ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 44 ನಾಬಾಲ್ಯೇಪಿ ಮತಿರ್ಮಾಹ್ಯಂ ಅಧರ್ಮೇ ರಮತೇ ಕ್ವಚಿತ್ ನ ಪಾಶ್ಯನ್ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾತ್ ಅನ್ಯತ್ ಕಿಂಚ ನ ವಸ್ತ್ವದಂ ಪಸ್ತ್ವಹಂ ನ ಬಾಲ್ಯೇಪಿ ಮತಿರ್ಮಾಹ್ಯಂ ಅಧರ್ಮೇ ರಮತೇ ಕ್ವಚಿತ್ ನ ಪಾಶ್ಯನ್ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾತ್ ಅನ್ಯತ್ ಕಿಂಚ ನ ವಸ್ತ್ವಹಂ ನ ಬಾಲ್ಯೇಪಿ ಮತಿರ್ಮಾಹ್ಯಂ ಅಧರ್ಮೇ ರಮತೇ ಕ್ವಚಿತ್ ನ ಪಾಶ್ಯನ್ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾತ್ ಅನ್ಯತ್ ಕಿಂಚ ನ ವಸ್ತ್ವಹಂ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಚಂದ್
ಆ
Na, not. Balye, in childhood. Api, indeed. Matihi, attraction. Mahyam, of me. Adharme, in irreligious principles. Ramate, enjoys. Kwachit, at any time. Na, nor. Apasyam, I saw. Uttamashlokat, than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyat, anything else. Kinchana, anything. Vashtu, substance. Aham, I. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. I was never attracted, even in my childhood, by insignificant things or irreligious principles. I did not find anything more substantial than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Maharaj Kwatanga provides a typical example of a Krishna conscious person. A Krishna conscious person does not see anything to be important but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor does he accept anything within this material world as being unconnected to the Supreme Lord, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8, 274. Estavara jangama dekhe na dekhe tara murti sarvatra hai nija ishta deva spurti. Quote, the Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. End of quote. Although a devotee is within the material world, he has no connection with it. Nirbhanda Krishna Sambandhe. He accepts this material world in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee may be engaged in earning money, but he uses that money for propagating the Krishna consciousness movement by constructing large temples and establishing worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Katwanga Maharaj, therefore, was not a materialist. A materialist is always attached to wife, children, home, property, and many other things for sense gratification. But, as stated above, Katwanga Maharaj was not attached to such things, nor could he think of anything existing without the purpose of the Supreme Lord. Ishavashyam idam sarvam. Everything is related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, this consciousness is not for the ordinary person, but if one takes to the path of devotional service, as prescribed in the Nectar of Devotion, he can be trained in this consciousness and obtain perfect understanding. For a Krishna conscious person, nothing is palatable without a relationship with Krishna. Na badye pi matir mahyam adharme ramate kvachit nipashyan uttamashlokat anyat kinchana vashtvaham. I was never attracted even in my childhood by insignificant things or irreligious principles. I did not find anything more substantial than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Ramapa Swami Iti Namine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादि शतरिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. It's a very nice session, and important too, because Prabhupada uses this example of Maharaj Katwanga several times to highlight that perfection can take even a moment. It depends on the person's state of consciousness. And in the case of Maharaj Katwanga, we see he himself is describing what is this stage of consciousness that allow him to, in a moment, actually obtain full perfection. And he explains in the previous verse, actually his background, the culture that he received from his family, from his lineage, and also the type of character that he had throughout his life, from childhood. So, in the previous verse, he described that the Brahminical culture was the most dear thing for him. He explained that it was more dear than his life, this Brahminical culture. What to speak of family or kingdom or things like that. So, what is this Brahminical culture? It was very nicely explained by His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj on yesterday. It's about this perfect balance of one's material propensities and one's spiritual understanding, culture, and practice. Prabhupada defined this Brahminical culture or perfect culture as Daivi Vanashram. And it's the system that Krishna has provided for the world. And such is a perfect system. It's complete and is perfect. And there is no alternative for human beings but to actually understand and apply that culture or that structure or that system that Krishna has created for mankind. Any type of suffering, any type of conflict that we experience in human society is because there is no understanding, there is ignorance about this system. And it's a system that is perfectly designed by the greatest genius, the supreme intelligence of Krishna, is perfectly designed for conditioned souls. What is the situation with conditioned souls? When we come to this material world, we become, we immediately take up this misidentification of the self. The first thing that we encounter as we enter this material creation is the false ego. And with the false ego, we misidentify the self as being part of this world, I mean, matter. So we take this conception of the ahamkara. And the manifestation of ahamkara, false ego, is I am this body, ahammameti, Ahammameti means I am this body and this is mine. We immediately take possessions of things. So that's the first thing that encounters, and that's from there everything goes, you know, then we plunge into the material existence. What Prabhupada called struggling for existence, because we're trying to lord over the things of this world, in Prabhupada's world. We take possessions of things. This is mine. That concept, this is mine, is what causes the cycle of birth and death in this material world. And thus Krishna designs exactly a perfect system that is suited for that type of situation, for that type of consciousness, that takes into consideration that the living entity starts with this misconception. So you have to create something that accommodates that. So Krishna does that. This perfect system for the conditioned soul who is under the bodily conscious of life is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and is explained in books like the Nectar. It's actually all our main books, all the Bhakti Shastri books are basically teaching us that. In very, very nice detail. In the Bhagavad Gita, is the theme of the Bhagavad Gita basically is that. To help Arjuna understand how to live perfectly on this perfect system. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we got examples after examples after examples of personalities who live in perfect harmony with this perfect system. In the Sri Upanishad, it gets in a very fantastic detail and almost like, you know, pretty focused on, it's like you have all these sutras or codes, these verses that explains, or you know, that a sutra is explained, that is, you put in a code books of knowledge. You can actually take so much, it goes so deep. So each of these mantras that appears in the Srimad Upanishad is leading us to understand this perfect system too. It's basically the theme of that book. And then we have the Nectar of Devotion, in which also Srila Rupa Goswami give very nice explanation about this perfect system. And of course we have the Nectar of Instruction that give us the means, the things that we have to do to be able to come to be able to embrace this perfect system. So, with these books, then we can establish a system of education that would train us in how to not only understand, but also adopt and embrace this perfect system. And once we are in that, once we have full embrace, once we are perfectly situated in this system, Krishna system, then just like Maharaj Katanga, we can be ready to achieve perfection. So what is that system? There are terms that are defined, there are different terms that are used to define this system. In the Bhagavad Gita, the term that is highlighted is Nishkam Karma Yoga. Nishkam Karma Yoga. Prabhupada also, the term Karma Yoga is used like in the fifth chapter, then Karma Yoga is equated to devotional service. Devotional service. So, but specifically we know that there are different levels of Karma Yoga, and the desired level that fits into Krishna's perfect system is this Nishkam Karma Yoga. In the Sri Upanishad, the term is used as a Ishavasya principle, the Ishavasya principle. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described as Param Dharma. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami uses these terms of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya. To, you know, each one gives certain aspects of this perfect system. In the Sri Upanishad, in the second mantra, it is explained that there is no alternative for mankind for this system, of this, only this system. It's the only alternative. There's no choice. Either you do it and you live for 100 years with prosperity, happiness, and an elevation of one's consciousness to Krishna consciousness. One live happily in Krishna consciousness. Or be completely miserable and then being sink into the dark regions of ignorance, as per the Ishupanishad. So much that Ishupanishad calls those who makes the choice either by ignorance or by whatever, knowing or unknowingly, you are outside this perfect system. In the Ishupanishad is called that they are the killers of the soul. The killers of the soul. So there is no alternative. This is the alternative. One wants to be happy in this world. Even if you make calculations materially, you want to be happy, there's only one alternative. The rest is just good luck. Just experience the misery of the material world. The material world is designed to be miserable. It's miserable because it's incompatible to us. We are an eternal being placed in a temporary world. So the incompatibility immediately creates, you know, anything, everything that we experience is incompatible to our being. So it's being sealed or is being declared as Dukkhalayam. Is Dukkhalayam full of miseries because it's asaswatam, it's temporary. We don't relate to temporary things. We only relate to things that are eternal, because that's a constitution of the self. So this principle of Yukta Vairagya or Nishkam Karma Yoga is very important to understand for us. And it's important that we understand what's the end result of what we doing, what we signing up when we take to Krishna consciousness. What do we need to do? When we come to Krishna consciousness, What is that we want to achieve? Well, we say, I want to be a pure devotee. Well, what does that mean? Or how do I do it? I still have to do things. Krishna brings that he brings that out in the Bhagavad Gita when he tells Arjuna that you still have to work. You can't stop working. You can't stop working even for a moment. So you have to do things. So if you have to do things in the material world, and there's a difficulty to understand. Well, work, activities in this material world, it is explained, karma. Karma, what is karma does? Karma means fruitive activities. I'm working, and naturally, every work is going to yield a result. There's no work. When you do a work, something is changing. You're manipulating things. It's a result that is coming. So, if I'm working and the scriptures tells me that the result is going to bind me, it's going to bind me to either enjoy or suffer, what is that result? What that result is bringing? That result will bring something that binds me to this material world. So karma creates this principle that's called karma bandha, which is I'm bound by the results of my actions. So that principle is there. So therefore, become free from that entanglement means immediately one can relate this. It's a natural conclusion. Well, I should stop working. Why should I work? If work does that, the solution is that I should stop working. I should do work that doesn't bind you to the result. And that is akarma, or no work, renunciation. So Arjuna's confusion, when Krishna presented this solution, Krishna first presented in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna, after he establishes that you're not the body, you're a spirit soul, the first thing, then he goes to tell, now I'm going to tell you, listen very carefully, I'm going to tell you of a process of knowledge that if you fully understand this knowledge, you can actually be free from the reactions of karma. And then he goes on to explain this process of karma yoga. So Arjuna, he in the second chapter, he explains karma yoga and buddhi yoga, sort of in similar terms. So Arjuna couldn't understand properly that, because he said, okay, so karma yoga is equated to devotional service, is equated to actually activities that link you or elevate you, put you in full contact with the absolute truth, with the supreme personality of Godhead. And what I understand is that you know, you dedicate yourself to the activities of devotional service. And Arjuna say, yeah, very nice. So kindly explain to me, what is the position of a sthita dhira, someone who is situated in this transcendence? And Krishna explains and all that. And after he explains, you know, how you can be situated Or what is the position of someone who is in Krishna consciousness? And Arjuna say, I like to do that. Then Krishna say, now take up your weapons and fight. And that's when he gets all confused. Wait. You know, devotional service or fight? Or doing your work, your duty, your material duty. So, then Krishna further explains that in much, much detail understanding of what is this Nishkam Karma Yoga. And he says, because the fact is that you cannot stop working. You still have to work. So you have to make this work in such a way that doesn't bind you. But if you renounce work, then you'll be in a situation that you've been pretending. You can't sustain it because your consciousness is not suitable for that renunciation. And then in the sixth chapter, Krishna concludes, that's when Arjuna finally started to get, oh, I get it. After six chapters, when Arjuna started to get what is this karma yoga principle. Because the oxymoron of having karma and yoga together, karma binds you to the world, yoga elevates you and connect you to the Supreme. So these are two opposite things. So now you put them together in a system that takes material propensity, work in the material world, and connection to Krishna. Spirituality and material together. And Arjuna finally understands it. When Krishna says that if you have attachments, as long as you have attachments in the sixth chapter, as long as you have attachments and as long as you have desires, work or this process of Nishkam Karma Yoga is the process that is suitable for you. If you renounce your work and you still have some traces of desires or attachments, then you will find yourself while performing the activities of renunciation, then things will come into your mind. You will still remember, you will still be sort of disturbed, and therefore you'll be a pretender. To be in renunciation, you have to be completely free from material desires and from attachments. To fully renounce, to renounce work. So, therefore, for you, Arjuna, which is us, the regular conditioned souls, the path is this path of work in Krishna consciousness. The same oxymoron of matter and spirituality together is explained in the Sri Upanishad. You have avidya and vidya simultaneously being cultivated. Vidya is described as this Ishavasya principle, to have an understanding of the Supreme Lord is complete and perfect. Om Purnam Adam Purnan Idam. He's complete and perfect, and everything that emanates from him is perfect and complete. And then this Ishavasya Sarvam Idam, that the whole creation belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. And he provides for us our quota. He provides for all of us. He is the maintainer and the provider of all the living entities. And every living entity has a quota that is provided, that is perfect for each one of us. Our quota is perfectly suitable. Perfect, complete, perfect. And one have to be One who is envidia or knowledge embraces these with gratitude and with, you know, peaceful mind. Avidya is disregarding and not having an understanding of this Ishavasya principle. In their avidya or ignorance, then you focus on your material conceptions of the self and then take possessions of things. You consider yourself as the doer and the owner. So there's this doership and this ownership principle is there. So that is avidya. Now, two different, same thing, karma and Krishna consciousness. Avidya and vidya have two different destinations. One is down, one is up. Now, same principle in the Ishupanishad, mantra 11, avidya and vidya is recommended to be cultivated simultaneously. And for those who are able to do that, then the path of liberation is open. Then the principle of Katwanga Maharaj. At any moment, when you're perfectly situated in that stage, you're now have the qualification to be liberated from this material world. That's what it says. So what does it mean to actually, in Prabhupada, in this amazing purpose, in the Ishupanishad, he explains what is the means of having vidya and avidya together. What is the element that allows that to happen? To have karma and Krishna consciousness, to work in Krishna consciousness. What is the element that is required for that? And Srila Prabhupada explains that that element is transcendental knowledge, which is, you know, we got that, okay. Well, what does it mean? What is the result of that transcendental knowledge? So we're cultivating our material tendencies. We're preparing ourselves materially. We act according to our material propensities, and then we have transcendental knowledge, Krishna consciousness, together. When that is take place, when those two are together, when this Nishkam Karma Yoga is together, when this principle, this system is together, it means that the overarching principle is that everything is Ishavasya principle. And that overarching principle translate in the purpose of life is self-realization. So everything we do is for the purpose of self-realization. So then we work. Whatever we do, whatever activity we do, it have to be for the purpose to support self-realization. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, it also explains very nicely that all activities, dharmasya hiya pavargasya, all activities are meant for liberation. All type of works are meant for liberation. How? Are meant for liberation when one applies the principle that the results are not meant for my sense gratification, but the results are meant to facilitate this jivasya tattva jigyasha, the understanding of the absolute truth. So the result of my material activities are simply to support my quest for self-realization. And that is how this principle works. Yukta Vairagya, this is the same thing that you. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that one uses what Prabhupada explained in the purport of today's verse, that one sees everything in relationship with Krishna and everything is used for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. You see every activity, every element, everything that we have, we use for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. So, Nirvanda, that what Prabhupada used that term, Nirvanda Krishna Sambandhe, that we use everything is attached to Krishna, which is a Ishavasya principle. So, if we perform activities without the overarching Ishavasya principle, then the purpose of life becomes, the purpose of work becomes sense gratification. And that's what is karma by itself or avidya. And that's what we have to avoid. We have to learn this system of working in Krishna consciousness. We have to learn, we have to be trained in this principle. And Srila Prabhupada, at the end of the purport, he says that this consciousness is not for ordinary persons. Ordinary persons are being forced by ignorance to act for sense gratification. But if one takes to the path of devotional service as prescribed in the nectar of devotion, he can be trained in this consciousness and obtain perfect understanding. So that is the purpose of, as actually most of the seven purposes of Srila Prabhupada of ISKCON have to do with establishing these principles of education. Education in this consciousness. For a Krishna conscious person, nothing is palatable without a relationship with Krishna. So that's what we're looking for. That's what we train for. That's what we sign for. We sign to come to the position, like Maharaj Katwanga, to seize everything, utilize everything for the service of Krishna, and feel quite settle and happy in that process or in that system. Any comment or questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for class. That's a really nice presentation. Really put together a lot of the books I've been studying for the last year, all in one presentation. And the last couple of weeks I've been meditating on the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, third, fourth, and a little bit of the fifth chapter. So you really presented this concept of proper engagement, proper action, really nicely. I have one question about renunciation in Krishna consciousness. I think it's like kind of the basis of the point that of proper renunciation. So it seems like there's a big difference between that, like what we think of as renunciation, and what just renunciation alone. I think that's like kind of the main point, is like proper renunciation.
Right.
Like, so how do we understand that in terms of like other people's renunciation, or like Mayavadi renunciation?
Say that again. Like, the volume is very low.
Mayavadi renunciation. Just like that. Like our conception of renunciation has to be proper.
Right.
I've been trying to understand that.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think Prabhupada, there's a term that is called dry renunciation. Dry renunciation. It dry means, you know, that it's almost like the substance has been evaporated from it. There's no substance. It's dry. And because there's no substance, it's not sustainable. So, and that was the whole thing of Arjuna's confusion. Because this is a difficult thing to immediately grasp. And even as devotees, we go through a whole, you know, we've seen, you know, we go through that conflict, especially when you take to Grihastha ashram, that you have to deal with material things. You know, you have to have a job, you have to have a house, material possessions, etc., etc. How you can have all that, that is not necessarily, you know, a job that, you know, you're not worshipping the deities or distributing books or preaching. You know, you may be, you know, writing something or selling something or, you know, whatever. You know, how can that be connected to Krishna? You know, it's not an easy thing, you know, and then sometimes you find yourself, well, I'm not meditating on Krishna when I'm dealing with this business and things like that. So it's not an easy thing to understand both work and renunciation. There are two different things. You know, one negates the other one. You know, you can have both at the same time. You cannot renounce something and have it, right? You know, so that's the difficulty. And then you get this concept that actually you have it and you renounce it too, simultaneously. So that's what we have to grasp, how that can be done. You know, you don't change anything. You just do it according to this whole concept, consciousness, system. So we do have to learn it. We have to learn a whole system. And that system requires, you know, something. The first thing that it requires is that we start to purify ourselves from the material conceptions that we have. We have to come to understand that, you know, and start to feel also connected to who we are, a spirit soul. You know, so to get to that is, you know, you get to be trained. Now, for Mayavadis, there's no alternative. The alternative is that they will come down. It doesn't matter how high they go. They can even go all the way to liberation from material existence. They can obtain this impersonal liberation, and they will fall down from that, according to Lord Brahma. They will fall down. They will obtain the highest goal of liberation, and they fall down. Because that according to Lord Brahma, that liberation is contaminated. The intelligence that led you to that liberation is polluted. What is it? What is that famous verse? Aruhya krichena padam padantatat padanti ado nadrita jusmangan gijaha. But he say, jene ravindaksha, jene ravindaksha bimukta maninas. Bimukta maninas is that in their mind, they think, okay, we did it, I'm liberated. But it's in their mind because their intelligence, Tvayastabhava Avishuddha Buddhaya, their buddhi is Avishuddha, is not pure, is polluted. So even though Aruhya Krichena Padam Padam Tata, after many, many austerities and sacrifices and all that, they achieve the supreme destination that they concocted in their minds. Padanti adho nadrita yushman angrajaha. Very soon they will fall down again because they neglected the lotus feet of the Lord. So it's unsustainable. It's pretending. It's pretentious in one sense. You know, there's many examples of this, you know, supposed great yogis that at the end Prabhupada said, and then, you know, come down from the Himalayas to do some welfare work and, you know, that type of thing. So they're still getting involved in work. So there's no alternative. And that's what the Ishupanishad said. There's just no alternative to that. Either you do it and elevate, or you just keep continuing this material world. So it's quite something. I mean, we can, that also highlight how fortunate we are. What idea I have that I'm, you know, we're getting the highest, the king of all education. I mean, one thing, you know, okay, this sounds nice, you know, the Hare Krishna, oh, well, let me see what this, you didn't have an idea what we're actually entering into. It's amazing how magnanimous Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, the disciplic succession, you know, is. Any other question? Okay. I have to bring a little volume number two.
In this verse, Maharaj Khatvanga is I guess in some sense he's giving also some sort of explanation of how it is that, you know, in a moment he was able to meditate on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he's describing his attraction from early on, and he went through the, you know, explaining all the principles that needed to be understood to be able to have that, I guess, that ability to be able to, in a moment, you know, fully concentrate one's attention on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the principles that you were describing involved, I mean, you put an emphasis on the necessity of performing work while there were, I guess, desires in relation to the material desires. That elevation or that training in consciousness that you put an emphasis on, that's what's going to allow one to look at that work in a different way? I mean, I guess that would be the question, because you were pointing out how difficult it may be that one is actually, when one's performing work that may not be at all, you know, the activities of elevating consciousness activities like worshipping the deity. So then when one's performing that kind of work that's not specifically those kind of activities, the ability to see that work in relation to the principles that you outlined that are helping the consciousness to view things from the perspective of things in relation to Krishna, then the performance of that kind of work must have been going on with Maharaj Khatvanga, because he was functioning as a king.
Correct.
So would one understand that he had integrated those kind of principles that you'd outlined in the class so well that in the performance of his work it was very simple to shift in a, like he had fought a big battle with the demigods on behalf of the demigods for a long time, so that ability to shift immediately to, when he was told he's got a moment more left of his life, to immediately shift his focus to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God, it would be implied that he'd integrated those kind of principles.
Correct.
That you were outlining.
Yeah, that's what I understood. That's what he was explaining in today's verse, that even from his childhood, he grew up like that. He didn't know anything but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, he represents that perfect culture. You know, from childhood, that's what, it's, you know, that's a supported culture that was there. So as he was performing his material duties, but the consciousness was always connected to Krishna. So that's, I mean, we come in a different culture, in a culture of ignorance, and we have to be trained. You know, we don't have a supportive culture like you know, the dynasty of the sun, all these, you know, saintly kings, you know. So yeah. So the whole principle is a principle of just what, that's why it's so important what these purposes of ISKCON, of educating the masses of people in these principles of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, like Prabhupada said, to counteract the first of the purpose. A systematic training and education in the principles that taught in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam to counteract the influence of this age of Kali in the masses of people. So, so you know, thinking about education, you know, we focus on the spiritual principles, Brahminical principles. We want to allow the students that comes to the temple to actually learn and start to understand this Brahminical culture. And Brahminical culture is a culture of understanding the absolute truth, you know, understanding Brahman, the worship of the deities, and to be able to preach, to teach others. And that's regardless of that's what I was asking Maharaj yesterday, regardless of what propensity we have, we can still, once we learn this Brahminical culture, we can still function, you know, on that, over that umbrella. So I may be a musician, which is a, you know, sudra, a propensity, and I can perform music, but I also, you can, and I may not have a natural inclination for biomedical activities, you know, I have to be, you know, regulated like that, but nevertheless, you start to absorb those things, and you know, you find yourself that now you're embracing gradually and gradually this biomedical culture. So the training can be there until the point that we come to like Maharaj Katwanga, that nothing was more dear to him than this biomedical culture, he says. Although he was a king, a kshatriya, he was not a brahmana, he was a kshatriya. But nothing was, not even his life was more dear to him than this brahminical culture. And that's what we have to, you know, the brahminical culture is this. Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, preaching, helping others, that type of thing. So nothing is more dear to him, to us, than this. That's what we're looking for to come. Regardless of what we do. And that's the training, that's the basis of that change of paradigm in our culture comes from, that's what we come to the temple to get. So that's how we see, you know, more or less our mission like that. Right? Okay? Oh, back to Alex Peru. Bring it up.
Hare Krishna. Just wanted to thank you, Subal. The lecture you spoke on is actually something I've been thinking a lot about lately, the past couple of weeks. I was hearing this from a devotee back in Uttalavan, how he was describing to me the difference between karma and bhakti. And you're explaining the difference between these two in this class as well, so that's really nice. But essentially, one can go on in karma and just be working. And I'm reminded of a story about a farmer who was just working in his fields, and he was being asked why he was working. And he was saying, oh, so I can plow the fields so that I can grow wheat. And so I can, you know, make bread to feed my family. And essentially, if we're not dovetailing all of our works for the Supreme Lord, then we can just be caught in that perpetual cycle of samsara. And you're asking like the difference between those two in faith or in karma and bhakti. And of course, the difference between the two is faith, that we do have to do our duties for the pleasure of the Lord. And ultimately, it comes down to that, having that ultimate shraddha, that whatever we may do has to be a sacrifice for Him. And if not, it binds one to this material right. world.
Yeah, the element of faith is, there's these two things, faith and transcendental knowledge, and they're both like two tracks. So what is it Prabhupada said, faith without knowledge is fanatism. So, and knowledge without faith is mental speculation. So these two things are necessary. So for us, faith won't take us too far if we don't dive into understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Because we don't have that. We've been for our whole life trained how to be a materialist. We don't have much training of how to be Krishna consciousness. What does it mean, you know? So we need to study very carefully We need to hear, we need to think, we need to dive into transcendental knowledge. And I have to go side by side with our faith. Like that. We can't neglect either one. So it's important to especially Prabhupada established it like that. He said he wrote his books for us to read. It's important that we take this back to Shastri in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. This Bhakti Shastri very seriously. And then go on to the next, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Vaibhava, and, you know, Bhakti Vedanta, that, like that. So, but we have to, because that's when I, you know, I didn't have much time to prepare for the class, but when I read, it's something that it came immediately, the highlight in this point, that this is what you learn in these four books. You really dive into it. They're so connected. Prabhupada is brilliant. The whole thing that Prabhupada gave us is so, is a Shakti Vesh avatar. It's like Krishna's perfect system. Prabhupada gave us a perfect, suitable system. Perfect. Brilliantly perfect. So we have to take advantage of it. We, you know, sign for it. Bhakti Shastri, to study deeply, you can do it in 1 year, you can do it in 2 years. I mean, you can go on and go on and go on, but even minimum that. Everybody should do a Bhakti Shastri. And then, you know, continue on. That fortifies our faith. With that, I should finish. Thank you so much. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.